about to begin the next sugya, although it's a little bit of a hard call whether we're finishing the previous sugya or the next sugya, because the sugya is really a blend and merge one to another. So nobody should be frightened off by on the page of the Mamar Kamos, put on a big, big chunk of the Kudras Dina de Garmi. We're not going to have this chus in this setting to read the entire part. This is only like a drop in the ocean of what the Kudras Dina de Garmi is all about. But just, I think my Tamidim felt that since I was thinking so many Mamar Kamos on it, they were running back and forth to the shelf for the one Kudras Dina de Garmi that existed in the YB's Medrash. So they made it a little bit easier this way. So we're going to pick up back on the regular sheets of the Mamar Kamos. We're going to pick up with the same question that we ended off in the previous sugya with. So let's just recap for a moment. Obviously, we've been talking for the last several shiurim about mechitza kerem shenifritza. And one thing that we know absolutely clear about mechitza kerem shenifritza is that it falls into the category of what's called dina de garmi. The reason why the owner of the grapes is chayev is only because we subscribe to the view of Rabbi Meir, don dina de garmi. If you hold like the other tenorim, who we don't possibly like, so if you don't accept dina de garmi, then it's not a no chayev. So it's clear that mechitza kerem is not a real mazik. It's not pashas mishpatim in the full sense of the word. You have to come on to this special chiddush hadin of dina de garmi. And that was what was puzzling in the list. So, you know, why is that so? Why isn't this just plain and simple old mazik? Now, we had to fine tune which old mazik should it be. Should it be shor? Should it be eish? But whatever it was, the Rabban presented a very strong case that it should have been a regular bona fide mazik. So, what took it out of the category of regular mazik? So the Ramban developed an entire yisod last week, that early in the week. Since this mazik is not just the ma'isa alone, it's not just an action, but it includes a machshava, because if you don't have a machshavas kilayim, you don't really believe, you don't really think, you don't really feel that there's going to be kilayim, so then it doesn't become kilayim. So since this hezek is presupposing a machshava, whenever machshava is in the mix, it can never, ever be more than dina de garmi. That was the Ramban's theory. And again, that got us started last week about, is that always true? When is deeper? The same as machshava, deeper, different than machshava. Those are, we are not some of the details in the sugya, but that was the permeating theme of the Ramban. But now the Ramban, at the beginning of the next sugya, acknowledges that this is not the only answer to this question. Ramban thinks this is the correct answer to this question, but he agrees that there were others who asked this question before him, who came up with a little bit of a different answer. And it's actually that different answer and why the Ramban rejects that different answer that sets the stage for our next sugya. So let's take a look at the first of the Mamar Kamos and the new sugya number 5. The Ikad the Salika Daite, the Terutze, there are those, say the Ramban, who wanted to give the following suggestion. Shani Hocha, She'ein Kan Nezek Ela Machmas Grama. The reason why this is not Mazik the Adai Mamish is because it's too indirect. What's indirect about it? Like, well, grapes are growing, they pass into your field, and they ask your tool. What's the grum about this? Here's the grum. If you think about it, the grapes are not damaging the wheat. What's happening? What they're doing is almost a two-step process. First, my grapes are spaziering their way through the broken fence into your wheat field. Now, after that happens, all of a sudden something else gets triggered. What is that? Apostle Bashki says, after that action occurs, then all of a sudden we start to think, my golly, what is the result of wheat and grapes together? Oh, it's in a sikilayim. That's already a second step. We can already divide in our minds this into a two-step process. Says the Rabban, the Yesh Omrim, what's called the Mazik Mamish, but I light a fire, and the fire goes and burns down your field, that's a Mazik Mamish. Or my ox walks into your field and eats your carrots, that's called the Mazik Mamish. Here, my grapes are going into your field, and that's all they're doing. And then stop, and then the game's over. 10 minutes later, we wake up, a good morning. Oh, by the way, those grapes that are inside your tool field now created a secondary result called Kilei Kerem, which is a Hefsid Mamon. Says the Ramban, there are those who wanted to say that's the reason why it's not Mazik Mamish. That's why it falls into that world of Grumma / Garmi. Now, again, you have to still fine tune why is it not Grumma but Zikin Potter? Why should it overkill? It should be totally Potter. So again, maybe we don't know enough about the nuances between Grama and Gami. Don't feel bad that we don't know enough. Rishonim aren't sure. Rishonim had a lot of problems. We'll get you on the line. But all the Rabban has succeeded in quoting the Yeshayim that at least Mazik Mamash is not going to be. So says the Rabban, he doesn't think this is correct. He says, we still need the previous terrors. We still need Tuzewen this year. We still have to say that the emes reason why Mamechitza Kerem Shenifritza is not Mazik Mamish is because of the Machshava component. Don't kid yourself, said Rabban. Don't think that this Teretz is going to do the trick. And I'll tell you why. Shim Kain, Rabban throws a curveball at us. Shim Kain, Havale Hezek, She'en Onikar, V'loy Shmei Hezek. Says the Rabban, if you're going to go down the route of the other Rishonim, and it's a two-step process, you're going to run into another Sugi in Shas called Hezek She'en Onikar. What in the world is Hezek She'en Onikar? So if you notice, that's the name of that Sugi, Hezek She'en Onikar. So we better define it right away, what this term means. So Hezek Shel Mikor is actually a sugya that appears in the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that Reuven wants to be Mazik Shimon, but Reuven's a Shimon Lamdan, so he doesn't want to do it in the regular way of just smashing his windows. So Reuven does like this. He takes a dead mouse, and he goes over to Shimon's Tara. So Shimon happens to be a Kohen, so he has Truma Tahora. Truma Tahora is a very valuable thing. He did it with my family for the next week out of the Truma Tahora. He takes the dead mouse, and he's Metame Shimon's Truma. That's the real way to get back at Shimon's. Metame Tarosa, Metame Shimon's Shochaber. So the Mishnah says that's a big problem because you were just mastered him. On the other hand, the Hezek is not recognizable. It doesn't look like any damage happened. It's not like I take a sledgehammer and I break your window, the window's broken. Here, I take the mouse off, the Truma looks the same. So that falls into this very, very gray area called Hezek She'en Onikar. So the Mishnah draws the following distinction. The Mishnah says, "Hametame tareisa shechavero b'meizit chaya b'shegik poter." If I do it intentionally, I have to pay. If I do it by mistake, I didn't realize what was going on. I forgot. Then b'shegik is going to be poter. So that distinction is very difficult to understand because in the sugya of Adam Amazik, there is no such distinction. The Mishnah, the end of the second paragraph, Baba Kama quotes some sukkim. Adam mu'ad la'olam b'shegik b'meizit. If I break your window, it doesn't matter whether I had in mind to break your window. It doesn't matter whether I was playing an innocent game of catch near your car and the car never had the ball by mistake smash your window. I have to pay no matter what. Minotaur, person is high, baby shaggy, baby amazing. So how do we understand this phenomenon that Hezek She'en Onikar parts ways? It splits, sometimes high, sometimes potter. So there was a machlokes in the Gemara, what's pshat in the Mishnah? So one opinion in the Mishnah says that la'olam, Yechayev, Minatora, Yechayev all the time. Minatora, even a Hezek She'en Onikar falls into the category of a Hezek. When the Torah says, Maka Nefesh Behemah Yishamena, that doesn't only mean physical damage, it means spiritual, unrecognizable damage as well. So, Mideraisa, Yechayev, Ben Beshegi, Ben Mezit. So, why do we say Beshegi Potter? Because we want to give Reuben an incentive to inform Shimon that by mistake he was Matami his Truma. Because otherwise, Reuben said, if the rabbi's going to make me pay, no, I won't tell him. I won't tell him. He's going to be Machshlam and eating this tray for food, eating the Truma Tamea. So therefore, totally Merachutz, for a total tangential reason, with the Rabbanon, they exempted you from paying the Shayyeh. But again, with the Rais, it's the same thing. And we happen not to pass it like that. We pass like the other period in the Gemara that no. The reason why there's a split between Shayyeh and Mezid is because Ben HaTorah, Hezek She'en Onikar, is Lav Shmei Hezek. It's not Hezek B'chal. It's not damage altogether. It doesn't register on the scale of damage. If you want to measure whether Nezek occurred Ben HaTorah, you can only measure it in physical terms. If it's a spiritual, unrecognizable Hezek She'en Onikar, Ben HaTorah, you're not Chayv. So why you Chayv B'mezid? It was a knas. It was a penalty. Because Chacham didn't want this goal. The guy's going to figure out what a great way to get back at the guy I don't like. I won't smash his window because I have to pay. I'll take a mouse and dump it onto his truma. So I mean, the did it amazing. They threw a knas, they threw a penalty at me. They're not going to penalize the guy who did it unintentionally. So therefore, we remain with the dinderais of a shaggy book. So everybody got to the same point. It's like the glass is half empty, half full. Everybody gets to the mission. The mission commits itself to this distinction that b'shegeg potter, b'mezid chayev. We're just not sure we got there. Did we get there that minatoria always chayev and then they knocked off the chayev b'shegeg? Or Meratoria always potter and they built up a chiyuv of b'mezid. So we pass like the second opinion. So comes the Ramban and says that the last thing we want to do is to make mechitza kem shenifritza into a situation of a hezek she'en onikar. Why is that? It sounds like it is. If you look at it, it sounds like a classic example of Hezek Shein HaNikar. So says Rabban, we don't want to do that. You know why? For textual reasons. Because the Gemara in Bava Kama that discusses the chi of a Mechitzah Kavshin Efritza never connects to the sugi of Hezek Shein HaNikar. The Gemara says, Adina Negami, yeah, and it's Rabbi Chayes Rabban Rabbanon, but the Gemara never ever says, oh, by the way, this whole sugi depends upon the Mishnah B'Sechas Gittin. There's a sugya a lot long in the fifth paragraph of Gittin that talks about every single case of Hezek Shein HaNikar. Metame, the Mishnah speaks about if I take Truman, I mix it with your chulin. The Mishnah speaks about if I take your wine and pour it to an idol. The Mishnah speaks about if you fiddle your animal. The Mishnah speaks about if I do malacha with a paraduma. Every possible case under the sun, the Gemara discusses of Hezek Shein HaNikar, and not a word, not a mention of a chitzik Hezek Shein HaNikar. Which leads us to believe that Mechitzah Kavshin Efritza is not Hezek Shein HaNikar. And the question is, why not? It sounds like it should be. It's spiritual, halachic kind of a damage. There's nothing physical to it. So why is it not Hezek Shein HaNikar? It's a double negative. Why is it not Hezek Shein HaNikar? Says the Ramban, the answer is very simple. Because when it comes to Mechitzah Kavshin Efritza, the Hezek is identified with something physical. You know what the physical thing is? There are grapes and wheat, which are sitting on top of each other. You take one look at the vineyard and you see, this is Hezek. I can tell right away, there's something that's Nikolai Nayim, the Irbuv, the Irbuvia, the Erevin, the Kilayim Shavo, that is good for the Hezek. It comes to Rabban and says, the only way to explain why Mechitzah Kavshin Efritza is a Hezek HaNikar, which it must be. For textual reasons, I've proven from the Gemara that it must be, because the Gemara never ever calls it anything else. It says the Ramban, the only way to explain this is to say that the moment of Hezek is the Irbuv Gufa, not the subsequent conclusion. Oh, by the way, 10 minutes later, my God, we wake up and say, oh yeah, it's Asar. There are two stages, says the Ramban, but the Hezek is already finished at the first stage. Once it's in the state of Rebuvia, we already paskened up, we already decided, this is already called the Shtikal Hezek. And once the Hezek is Nikra al Shem, the Irbuvia, says the Ramban, so that automatically is called the Hezek HaNikar, because the Irbuvia is Nikra Leinayim. It's just not Nikra Leinayim, but the Irbuvia is Nikra Leinayim. If that's the case, says the Ramban, which he proved, because otherwise it would be Hezek Shein HaNikar, then these Rishonim are not correct. The Rishonim will explain, you want to know why it's only Dina Degami? It's only Dina Degami because it's 15 steps down the line. No, it's not, says the Ramban. If the Hezek would be Nikra al Shem, the Issa Shemo, that it would be a two-step process, and then it would have been Dina Degami, but it would have also been overkill, it would have been Hezek Shein HaNikar. From the fact that it's a Hezek HaNikar, that shows us that it's not a two-step process. The Hezek is over B'shasa Erbuvia, B'shasa the physical Erbuvia, and once it's also B'shasa the physical Erbuvia, you can't turn around and say Dina Degami anymore. So why is it Dina Degami? The Teretz is because of Machshava. The Teretz is what we said earlier in the week. So it's because of the kash of Hezek Shein HaNikar that the Ramban unraveled the Pshat and the Rishonim, who wanted to focus and emphasize the two-step process.
Wouldn't we have the same thing as, I think you said the case just before, but I want to be having somebody else's truma or chatzon, if I take that animal, put it on there, second, I put it on.
Okay. Oh, very good, excellent. So l'chora, the Ramban, is very, very difficult. Because let's just focus just on the words of the Ramban. The Ramban said, once I discovered that the Shas Hezek is the Erbuvia, so all of a sudden it becomes Hezek Nikar. That was the equation of the Ramban. I understand. Could someone please define for me what Hezek Sheino Nikar means? What are the words meaning Hezek Sheino Nikar? If you would have asked that, we said as follows. A person comes to Beis Din and he's yelling and screaming, you Reuven, you caused me a tremendous Hefsed Mamon. So we're looking at this quote unquote, the supposed Hefsed Mamon. And we're trying to analyze, did a Hefsed Mamon really take place? Who do we ask? So we bring in the experts to determine, is there really a Hefsed Mamon? Is there a Hezek? It's hard to have a determine a Mazik if there's no Hezek altogether. So we bring in the experts. Which experts do we bring in? We bring in the three Rabbanim with the long white beard to a Bekim and Hilchos Kelayim? Or we bring the three Goyim off the street, the three guys who know what damages are all about, who know what it means to have a broken window. So comes the Halach and says, Min haTorah makah nefesh bei mishamena means that you have to damage somebody in a way that's nigel ayin lefi ra'os, regular portion of people, lefi ra'os the non-Jewish world, lefi ra'os the secular world. Everyone can tell. If I shoot your animal, the animal's not worth money anymore. If I break your window, your window's not broken. If I break your arm, so you experience the hefsid moment. This wild halachic spiritual damage, quote unquote, I put a dead mouse onto your truma. Ask three average guys on the street who don't know it. They never heard of truma. They never heard of tuma. What's the big deal? Take the mouse off and drink the wine. What's the terrible thing? Big deal. L'chora, the way you define hezek she'er nikar is spiritual damage versus physical damage. Damage that you can see, you can tell. The Rambam uses nifsa tsurosai. There's some physical change to the item that the physical significant change that is hezek hanikar. Anything short of that is hezek she'er nikar. So I don't understand what Rambam. Rambam's saying because the hezek happened 10 seconds earlier, it happened at the moment of Rebuvia, therefore it's qualified as a hezek hanikar. It's the therefore. I look at the Rebuvia, bring three goyim to look at the field and say, Gevalov, look at the terrible damage that occurred to this wheat. There are grapes growing in the guy's wheat. So you know what the goyim say? So what? So therefore what? Asma. When I was giving this example in the shir, in yeshiva, I said, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, we look at the world in a certain way, so we get all tense, we get so nervous about things. We see kelayim, so we think the whole world sees kelayim. The non-Jew says, so what? I said, Moshe Madhavadon. I said, we have a certain value system, we have certain perceptions about things. I remember years ago when I was back in Russia, Kolo, so one summer, it wasn't only one summer, we saw a bear. We're going nuts. So there's a bear right inside the bunk. There was a bear. I remember I went to one of the non-Jews who works in the kid. He was the guy with the big gun whose job was to protect us. So I remember I said, Kerman, shaking. I said, we just saw a bear. So I remember his response was, so what? Those are his words. My perception is having a bear is a terrible thing. For him, it's not a bear. It's a bear. He lives with bears all the time. So for the non-Jew who sees wheat growing together with wheat, so what? What kind of ask is that? So the Chora, the Ramban is pulling blood. The Ramban is trying so hard to turn this into hezek hanikar. We understand, we appreciate why the Ramban's doing it because the Gemara never calls it anything else. So the Ramban's turning it into hezek hanikar, and the Shtichel Torah was because the Yisr is Chal B'Shas Hayabuvia, because the hezek is Chal B'Shas Hayabuvia, that's why it's called hezek hanikar. So it's really, really a palatik of Ramban. So we need a little bit more work to fine tune this Ramban. The Ramban clearly had a different image, a different vision of what hezek hanikar and hezek she'er nikar is. Different from the way we seem to be presenting it. So we need a lot of work to understand where the Ramban is coming from.
That's all the logic. Principles are that we look at differently
in
the
rest of
the world.
So
therefore, the Ramban is not completely wrong by saying that, you know, something's kosher or something being something. That's just the principles that how we
look at things. 100%. But we look at things differently when we're trying to paskit or a chayim in your day. The question is, does Hilchus Chashamish, Hilchus Nezikin, does Hilchus Nezikin depend upon the way we look at it or the way it looks at it? That's the Machalik Zidigma, where the Hezek Sheer Nikos Shmei Hezek, Lav Shmei Hezek. Because at the end of the day, we paskin, like the Mandiyama, Lav Shmei Hezek. So we paskin in a Torah, if I take your Truma and I'm a Tavayet, I'm not Chayef to pay. Why am I not Chayef to pay? So listen to the words. Hezek Sheer Nikos Lav Shmei Hezek, that's not full Hezek. What do you mean? Lamaisa, your day it dictates, I got to burn, I got to discard of it. Doesn't matter, since Chashamish but follows the regular rules of business. And therefore, in the secular eyes, it's not considered to be damaged. It's not damaged goods, so it's not damaged goods. So the Ramban needs a lot of work. So the background to understanding this Ramban in Kutas Din and Degami begins with the Sugya in the second of the Baruch Hakam. It's the Gemara of Bakamad of Tzadites. I'm a Rav Rechana Rabbi Yechanan. Tabach uman shekil keel chayav. If a sheichet, he's a professional sheichet. It's not like he's doing anything irresponsible. He's qualified. He has experience. He's qualified to be a sheichet. But he makes a mistake. Everyone makes a mistake. He shechted. He thought it was right. And he realizes, I didn't quite the simon quite properly. Turns out the animal's an avela. So he just caused a big hefsid moment. The balabas who hired the sheichet was expecting to have dinner. And now he ends up having to feed it to his dogs. So that was a big hefsid moment. So Rabbi Yechon says chayav. Afilu uman ketabachi tzipori. Even if he's a real expert, he's a crackerjack expert, like the butchers in Tzipori who are known for their expertise, he's still chayav to pay. Yes, the Gemara. Umi amar Rabbi Yechon hachi. Did Rabbi Yechon really say such a thing? Lama Rabbi Rechana. Uvda hava kamed Rabbi Yechon. Beknishta de ma'on. once a story happened that Rabbi Yochanan was in the Knishta of the Ba'on, and such a case happened that the person who shechted the animal made a mistake. Actually, was shechting chickens, and he goofed. He turned one of the chickens into an avela. So Rabbi Yochanan said, just prove that you have an expert. Just show me your credentials. Show me that you are qualified to be a shechet. Idiot, not qualified to be a shechet. You were an amateur. You're just hoping for the best. And you told the guy, yeah, I know how to shecht it. You know, but if you were qualified in what you were doing, you made a mistake, so you can report to him. So how could that be? Rabbi Yochanan a moment ago told us that you're chayav. Lokash kan b'chiv kan b'schar. No, it depends. Were you paid for the job or not? If you were paid, then you have a much higher level of obligation. And if, even though you made a mistake and you messed up the shechit, you have to pay. If you were b'chidam, you were just doing it as a favor anyway, that's a lower level of obligation you're going to report to us. That distinction is very, very difficult to understand, because l'chora, we're trying to figure out, is the fellow an adam hamazik or not? Whether you're an adam hamazik, what's the difference whether you're getting paid or not? So that's already a loaded topic. We'll get to which as the sugya develops a little bit more. But for our purposes, let's just extract the following, that it is possible, at least under certain circumstances, that a tabach umusha kilva will be chayav, even though he's a professional shochet. But if he messes up, so there are going to be cases out there that he is going to be chayav. So comes the Ramban and says, I don't say that. Other kind of, it's not dafka shaykh. The Gemara is clear. The Gemara applies this to other professions as well. I give you something to do and you mess up. I give you, you're supposed to build my house and you goof up. You cause me a bigger hefsim moment than you. You're supposed to come and fix my fridge and end up breaking the fridge. So there, any example of something where I'm hiring you to do a job and you messed up, you made a mistake, and you caused a big hefsim moment. So the Gemara says sometimes you're going to be chayim. So it comes the Ramban in the third of the Mamakamas, comes and we're right back to Kutras Dina de Gami again, where the Ramban poses the following challenge in this Gemara. So we pass it Hezek Shanika is Potter. If so, Tavach Ubacha Kilgel, am I Chayev? Why is the Shaykhit Chayev? What's the grandiose Hezek that he did? Remember going back to our model. We thought that how do you measure whether something is Hezek Nikra, Hezek Shanika? You bring in the non-Jews. Imagine the following case. The Shaykhit, he shechts, Gavalt, he made a mistake, and he realizes, he opens up your day, he says, Gavalt, Allah says it's Nevela. So we bring it to the non-Jewish court, so to speak. They appraise the animal and say, this animal's great. It's great for dinner. But it's great for dinner, but your day, Chalak Aleph, claims that it's a Nevela, that I can only feed it to my dogs. So the Goyish appraises him. Never heard of your day, never heard of Chalak Aleph, never heard of Shechita. So for us, this is a great thing. There's no Hefsid Mamun whatsoever. That's a classic Hezek Shevet Mikra. So ask the Ramban, why does the Gemara say that Tavach Omen Shekil Kiel is Chayav? Typically, it's only Hezek Shevet Mikra. That's the Ramban's Kasha. So we're nowhere near the Ramban's Teretz. I don't think we're going to get the Ramban's Teretz until next week, which is going to be, this is going to open up our eyes for the Kiliya Karim. I just want to understand the Ramban's Kasha. I understand what the Ramban's Kasha is. The Ramban is looking at the Gemara of a Kamadav Tzadi test, and he's saying, Gevalt Kishrigin, how could the Sheikh be Chayav? After all, it's a Hezek Shein Onikar. So I'll answer to you, you're right. He's Chayav because Hezek Shein Onikar is Chayav, as the Mishnah says. But Mezid is Chayav. So obviously, what was the Ramban assuming? That this is a Shegig, this is not a Mezid. What do you mean? This is not quite a Shegig, but not quite a Mezid either. You know what this is? This is somewhere in the middle. This is what's called the Pesheya. He goofed. He made a mistake. And so he didn't mean to do damage. He wasn't a miskaven, but he wasn't exactly a shege either. He was a pesheya. If he would have been a little bit more careful, he probably wouldn't have messed up the shechita. So where does the halacha place such a person? It's a little bit tricky. A guy is right in the cracks. He's not exactly a shege, not exactly amazing. Is he chayef for hezek shere nikar? Is he potter for hezek shere nikar? So it's clear as day that the Ramban was assuming that such a person is not amazing. He is closer to a shayi than he was to amazing. Because if the Ramban would have held that such a fellow was amazing, he would never have asked the kasha in the first place. He would have said, give out your shayin. It's Hezek Shein Onikra. The answer would have been, yeah, it is. Come on, let's go home. Let's go to the next shayi. So it's clear from the Kushrus of Ramban that he was at a certain understanding about how do you define, where do you draw the line to shayi amazing? And Pesheya falls on the other end of the line. Pesheya ends up closer to the model of Sheyeh that does the model of that. So it's clear as day from the Ramban, and this is the theme It appears in the Ramban other places as well. So we're correct in this analysis. But the Chora, we have a much more serious question here. Because the Ramban poses a question, Gaval, this is Hezek Shenoniker. Wait a second. Is the Chiyav of the Shechet because of Adam HaMazik? What's the name of the Chiyav here for the Shechet? So I'm going to prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is not Adam HaMazik. How do I know? Because the Gemara differentiated whether he's getting paid or not. Since when do we ever find there's a difference in halacha between getting paid or not getting paid? If I smash your window, but I wasn't paid to clean your car, so I'm not chayav. The joke is that. Where's Adam HaMazik? Do we getting paid or not? Where in the world do we find the distinction in halacha between whether you're paid? If you're paid, you have X amount of chayav. And if you're not paid, then you have X minus amount of chayav. Where do we ever find such a model? In Pashas HaShoyimrim. That's another pasuk in Pashas Mishpat. That's Perchav Beis, that Perchav, that Perchav Aleph. Chafalav is mostly Mazik. Chav Beis is Shoyimrim. In the parish of Shomrim, I ask you to wash my car, I say, wash my animal. So then we find such a distinction that if you're getting paid, your chiyuv is X amount. If you're not getting paid, then your chiyuv is significantly less, etc. So obviously, this sugyav tavach uman shekilkel is not even talking the language of Mazik altogether. It's talking the language of Shomrim. Who said that Hezek Nikar, Hezek Shem Nikar is the Shomrim Dikar Sugya? Maybe Hezek Nikar, Hezek Shem Nikar is a Mazik Dikar Sugya. Maybe the Chashomrim, the rules are different. How did the Ramban know? Like, Mehecha Taisei, that the Ramban has the Kasha. So we have to take, not 3 steps back, almost like 10 steps back. Wait a second, wait. We have to go back to Baba Kama Dav Tzadik Tes and ask ourselves, why is it not Mazik? Why is the Gemara talking the language of Shomrim? Why isn't the Gemara talking the language of Mazik? How can the Rabbi Yechon make such a distinction and say, you paid your chayiv, you're not paid your potter? Why? If we're talking the sugya of mazik, which the choru, why is that a mazik? I take the knife, I shech your animal, I cause that to mom, what a mazik? Who's the shayim? Who made any shayim here? This is mazik ben nizuk. So why is it not? Why does the Gemara clearly assume that's that? So there's something very strange going on above a common left side test that took us out of the sugya of mazik ben nizuk into the sugya of shomrim. Because we're distinguishing between Chidam versus Bishar. And once, for some deep dark secret, which we hopefully will find out next week, why is this not Mazik? And yes, it is Shomrim. How did the Ramban know that in the Sugya of Shomrim, Hezek Nikar, Hezek Nikar even play a role? So we have a lot of work cut out for us. So again, our real question started out in the first of the Ramban. So the real question was, Ramban developed this theory for us that you want to know one Chitzakem Shinifritza. Is a Hezek HaNikar, which it is, clearly it's clear the Gemara that it is. You want to know why, says the Ramban? I'll tell you why. Because it's a one-step process, not a two-step process. Because the Hezek is Nikar al-Shem, the Irbuv. So we said we don't understand that. Because the Goyim don't understand Irbuv, they don't understand Yerodeh, they don't understand anything. A Goy sees wheat and grape together, he doesn't think twice. There's nothing wrong with it. No damage happened to it. So we b'chal don't understand the Ramban. In order to understand the Ramban, we had to quote another Ramban. It's a Ramban's Kasha on his figure in Bava Kamma, which just created for us two more caches. That we don't understand the Gemara Bava Kamma. We don't understand why we're not talking the language of Mazik and Mizuk. And in Tim Tzloma that we're not, how did the Ramban know that the Sugya Shoma has anything to do with Hezek HaNikar? So instead of one cache, we turned it into three caches. Now they say in the yeshivas that one cache is a cache, two caches requires a teretz, three caches is the Yisoid, and four caches is the Shir Kloli. So we're almost at the point of the Shir Kloli. We have three glaring caches. We have Ramban in our Sugya B'Chitzakarim. We have a kasha on the Gemara itself. Why is this not Mazik Benizik? Why is it Shomer? And we have a third kasha that, for whatever reason, it's Shomer. Why does the Ramban then pose the issue of Hezek? Why are we mixing and matching the sugyas of Mazik and the sugyas of Shomer? So hopefully that's here next week. We'll try to open up the sugya a little bit more to try to get a little bit more clarity what's going on in the Gemara of Kama and ultimately in the sugya of Shomer. So,